Thank you so much for joining me today. You have found the Third Space podcast, and I'm your host, Bob Fabey. And today, we're going to be talking about the M word, marriage. There's a lot of opinion out there today about what marriage is and what marriage isn't. What constitutes a marriage? Is it between a man and a woman, or who is it between? What do people think they're getting into? All those kinds of things. And I just read a recent article that talked about how marriage divorce actually is on the decline, that we have the millennials to thank for that. And depending upon how you look at the research involved in that article, I think what's clear is that people are taking marriage more seriously. And one of the things that's happening is that people are actually putting marriage off until later. So folks aren't maybe kind of doing what was traditionally done back in the, I don't know when that was traditional, but maybe back in the 50s where, you know, the expectation was you get married, you know, when you're 18, 19, 20, you know, maybe a little bit later, but not much later than that. And, you know, set off on life together, start having family, and kind of moving forward. And that's certainly true, you know, post-World War II. This reason they call it the baby boom generation. Lots of guys were gone. Lots of guys came back. And there were more babies. And so marriage, you know, kind of has taken on a completely different perspective in the year 2018. It's just not thought of the same way as it was, you know, 50, 70 years ago. And as a priest, I get asked, obviously, to do weddings and to perform wedding ceremonies and, help people to get married. And I first wanted to talk about the fact that marriage is very different than a wedding. And what's happened today with weddings is that they have taken on a enormous kind of task in terms of the amount of money that is spent on a wedding is astronomical. And if I'm involved with counseling a couple, I always say, do not spend more money on your wedding than you spend on your marriage. And what I mean by that is people want to invest in this really great moment and to have a really special day. And I think that's great. But I also say, what happens the day after? You guys are married now. So what does that look like and how do you do that? And investing in that, I think, is a really critical piece. So that for me, that looks like, you know, attending marriage conferences and investing in your relationship going forward, because you're in this thing for life. And so what does that look like? And unfortunately, what happens is, we've figured out ways to spend money. You know, I can't really blame people. I guess it's a capitalistic culture. But I mean, I think about now, you know, there's money spent on announcing the sex of the baby and having, you know, gender reveal parties and all of those kinds of things. And I just think, man, you know, this is kind of crazy. What is it we're actually doing? And I look at what families go through in order to join together in marriage. And people are spending, you know, $25,000, $30,000 without even thinking when it comes to the wedding itself. And as a dad to a daughter, I know that some of that responsibility is going to fall on my wife and I in order to help provide an event for others and for my daughter that's unique and special. And Hannah, if you're listening, I have absolutely no interest in spending $25,000 toward your wedding. And that may sound callous, but hopefully you'll understand as I go along in this podcast, the way that I orient to this. So I think about the wedding as very separate from marriage itself. The wedding is a ceremony. And the wedding is an opportunity for two families to come together, not just two people. And depending upon family of origin, that can be more successful than others. But really, I will ask the question, you know, what do you think you're getting into here? And hopefully in the premarital work that I do with a couple, you know, we can dispel any ideas of Disney and or kind of unrealistic expectations around what this thing is going to actually look like. So by the time we get to the actual ceremony, I make it clear. I say, listen, this is a vow and a promise you are making before each other and each other's family and friends and God. And here's the big promise. Are you ready for this? I'm sure you're on the edge of your seats. The promise is to never stop working at this relationship. Period. The promise isn't, I'm always going to love you. The promise isn't, you know, I'm never going to screw up. The promise isn't, I'll be everybody that you always dreamed for me to be. None of those things are realistic. And I think making a promise like that is silly. So I just make it really clear when I'm doing a wedding. I just say, hey, listen, this is a promise that you'll never quit. You're never going to stop working at this relationship. And that's the promise. That's the vow. That's the covenant. And that somehow in that is represented, you know, the unity that we find between Christ and his church, where he is never going to stop pursuing his bride ever. And that that is part of what the covenant of marriage is that you are somehow representing Christ and his church. And so I look at the ceremony and I think, okay, a wedding, do I need to spend $25,000? No, we don't. Do we want people to come and have a good time? Yeah, but I don't feel socially responsible to make sure that everybody's super happy. What I do feel responsible to do is honor God with what it is that we're doing going forward. So truth be told, when I don't have the opportunity to be engaged in premarital counseling with a couple, or I don't have an opportunity to be in their lives past the actual ceremony, or there's a great distance between myself and the couple, just geographically. I mean, maybe they have another pastor and it makes more sense. I will say no as often as I say yes to doing a wedding ceremony. And maybe actually I'll say no more often. And it's not because I think I'm so great or anything like that, but it's just, it makes way more sense to me. If I have the opportunity to be involved with the couple before, during, and after the ceremony, because the reality is that when we're talking about marriage, not the wedding, but marriage itself, it's actually really important for me to uphold my vow as well, to be involved with that couple into their marriage. And once the kind of the yahoo wears off, man, the reality is that she's not who I thought she was, or he doesn't do what I thought he would do, and he won't listen, and she's, you know, complaining and yada, yada, yada. And I think I want to be there for that. I don't want to just say, yeah, that was a nice day, but I want to be there for when you feel like the wheels are coming off and you need people around you. And I think that when you make a promise to God and to other people, it's really important to have a community around you who's invested in actually helping that go forward, so that you take seriously those responsibilities and those roles where you say, man, I'm here to encourage you. I think too often communities are used as echo chambers for couples, where they'll decide that, you know, they're going to talk to people who are just going to agree with them about how ugly their spouse is in terms of their behavior, hopefully not physically. You know, I hope you find your spouse attractive. But that you know, that's how communities are used. And I think, no, that's totally wrong. We are supposed to be walking next to one another, encouraging each other, pointing them towards Christ and towards wholeness in one another, and not simply just agreeing with how bad the other person is. And so I think about marriage happening And I think about it happening within healthy communities where people are really dialed in to walk alongside and to be there when things are difficult and to encourage people along, even, you know, maybe when their knees are weak or they're feeling pretty frustrated. And so when it comes to marriage, then this commitment to never stop working at it, what that requires, I think, is for me, I'll speak personally on this, is a really keen sense of Christ with me. I think that it's easy for somebody to make a promise and make a vow, but then, you know, just kind of rely on yourself to try to figure out what that looks like. And I actually really need Christ. And as amazing and incredible a person as my wife is, I need Christ in order to continue to walk in that promise, in that vow. And so what I do is I press into him around who I am and what that looks like. So I, you know, I go to something like Ephesians chapter 5, where it talks about husbands and wives together. And unfortunately, this passage has been used to justify all sorts of ridiculousness when it comes to marital relations, you know, male-female roles, that kind of thing. And it says, you know, oh, wives, submit to your husbands. And I think, okay, when a guy wants to use that and just say, you're supposed to submit to me, I get really uncomfortable really fast. Because any guy who has to declare that his wife needs to submit to him clearly isn't leading in a way that makes that possible or at least plausible. And I think, okay, the real thing that I take to heart is I go, okay, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And when I'm sitting with somebody, that's what I emphasize with the guy. I look them dead in the eye and I say, you need to be willing to die to yourself for your wife. And typically I will hear, yeah, man, I love her. I'd just take a bullet for her. And I will say, will you pick up your socks for her? And then it gets a little quiet. Sometimes, you know, it'll be like, well, yeah, of course. And I said, will you put the toilet seat down for her? Will you defer to her and what it is that she may need or want? And my hope is that they say yes to that. So I'm hoping that, you know, the husband has a sense that, you know, the life that he is signing up for is literally like, hey, God is going to use this relationship in your life to make you look more like him. And so he's going to call for your death all the time so that you will look more like Christ. And so when you are in a relationship with somebody and they're determined to represent Christ in such a way to die to themselves, then it's really easy to be in a relationship with them. And it's not as if I'm painting a picture where the husband is just a walkover and the wife just gets whatever she wants and all that kind of stuff. That's not what this looks like. This is a mutual submission to one another because of Christ and a submission to Christ. And so the husband can lay down his life for his bride. And, you know, it's not some heroic moment in taking a bullet. What it is a heroic moment when you're deciding to change diapers, when she's exhausted and she doesn't have it in her and it's your turn and you do it. And maybe you do it anyways, even when it's not quote unquote your turn, or you do the things that are required of the household that are just, you know, hey, it's not fun, but that's how you lead. And it kind of gets into this idea of servant leadership, where you're willing to put her needs ahead of your own. and that she's doing the same for you. And what that looks like then is this kind of beautiful unity of mutual submission to one another, and open-ended conversations and dialogue, and an interest in seeing the other's needs met as much as your own. And the reality is that's super hard, because we don't easily go to our own death. And that's why I think it requires Christ. And so you press in around that, and you go, okay, Lord, help me to love my wife with all that I have. And I need you to strengthen me to do that thing. And sometimes it's super easy, and sometimes it's really challenging. And I remember, to be honest, I'm pretty good, I think, at being romantic. So things like, flower petals and bubble baths and things. I mean, I think I've got that kind of stuff in spades. And so when we were first married, I think I was pretty great at that. But Amy's needs changed, and it's okay. And I think it's important, actually. And they turn to, not worrying about romance, but doing the dishes and folding the laundry and putting the laundry away and working hard at changing myself so that I could meet her needs. Now, have I done that perfectly? No. Is there room for improvement? Absolutely. So I don't want to make it sound like I'm, the greatest husband on the planet. But what I recognize is that that's the battle for me, is that I have to say, what is it I can do that's going to benefit her, and how can I serve her? And if she's asking the same question and she's seeking to see what's best for me and to provide what's best for me, then within that, there's this beautiful thing called marriage. And it is challenging, and it's beautiful, and it's worth it on every level. And what happens is when we become fearful, we say something like, well, what if she doesn't do what I need, quote unquote, need her to do, or what I want her to do? And I think, well, I don't know exactly what that might be, but that's part of where I think Christ plays the most important role, is that I don't have to be afraid that my wife won't do something that I want or that I think that she needs to do, because I can have Christ. And so I can turn and I can say, hey, I'm feeling fearful. I need you to speak to me about how I'm feeling, and he can speak truth over me. And then in turn, I can look at my wife, and she's not trying to meet all of my needs. So one of the things, when I think about this thing about marriage, years ago, there was a movie that came out. I think it was Jerry Maguire, maybe. And there was a line in there about, this "you complete me" idea. And the reality is that Amy cannot complete me. I am incomplete unless I'm in Christ. And then I'm not going to ask her to be something that she can't be for me. I'm actually going to ask Christ to be that. And that she gets to join in that is part of the beauty. And it's the same thing for the wives. Husbands can't be all that you need. There's more there, and it's being able to rely on Christ to speak truth over us, to meet needs, and that the husbands get to participate in that. But if I ask my wife to be my God, she's going to make a really bad God, and I'm going to be very demanding of that God. And she's not going to function that way. And so marriage doesn't look like that. It looks like an interdependence on Christ and one another, and focusing primarily on our dependence on Christ to serve each other and to love each other. And there are times where that is so easy and it just happens without effort. And there's times where it takes a great deal of effort and I have to work very hard at putting myself to death. And hopefully there's grace and mercy in the loving relationship that we have so we give each other space. And even though we do things that aren't perfect or pleasing, that there's forgiveness. And I think one of the most important parts of marriage and having a healthy marriage is very clear, open, honest communication. And I find that the thing that I sit with couples over quite a bit is actually communicating. It seems like couples have difficulty talking about how they feel and maybe even identifying their feelings, but being able to say, when this happens, this is how I feel. And having a response that looks like saying, I so don't want you to feel that way. I am so sorry. Please forgive me. The reality is that a lot of people have difficulty saying those words. And they have trouble being mutually submitted to each other in that. So somebody can say, I'm sorry you feel that way, but not actually apologize for what happened. And so open, honest dialogue and the ability to communicate about things is a really critical piece to having a healthy marriage. And I think that as needs change for different couples, the different needs are going to change, whether those are natural because of, hey, we added kids to the mix, or you have different jobs or things like that, that being flexible around meeting the needs of your spouse is really, really, really important. And I think that communication piece is kind of the way that goes forward. So without good, honest, clear communication, it's really hard to navigate all that life brings. And to be honest, I mean, you will never going to see what life brings. We can't possibly look into the future and know that, maybe there's going to be a miscarriage or the death of a child. I mean, man, I would never want that for anyone. You may not see the toll that a job takes on the relationship, or you may not see the gradual hardening of a heart through bitterness, or unmet, unrealistic expectations, or I mean, there's a myriad of things that could be coming along that there's you're just no way to see. But the idea is that we're together, and we're with Christ, and together is how we're going to go forward. And that's kind of the hope for marriage. And so I think about it this way, and I think I use this analogy from the guy who did our wedding and who was our pastor. His name's Jeff Valentine out of Missoula Alliance Church. He recently started counseling, stepped away from the pastorate. And I remember him talking about the smooth stones that David used to kill Goliath. And so I don't remember if this is directly tied to that, but I talk about marriage like a garden. And when you're driving down the road and you see somebody's garden, maybe it's a garden with vegetables, or maybe it's a flower garden or whatever, and you see it and you think, man, that is a beautiful garden. I want a garden like that. And I think a lot of couples think of marriage that way. They look over there and they think, man, I want that. That looks amazing. And I say, okay, well, that's amen. But you don't just turn around and buy that garden. You don't just instantly have that garden. Actually, you have to identify a piece of land first. And you purchase that land, and then you clear it of debris and rocks and things. And then you till the soil, and then you carefully plant and plan what that will look like. And then you water and cultivate it, and you nurture it as it grows, and you weed it constantly. And so it's not just like an Instagram photo of where you think, oh, that's just gorgeous. I just really love that and I want that. But it's more like that thing that you're looking at requires a great deal of attention. And I think about things like weeds in the garden, and I think, man, you know, bitterness is like a weed. You better pull that thing. Get rid of that. Because if you don't, more weeds are going to come, and it just requires more and more work. And I think that's where people lose heart, where they've allowed so many things to grow in the garden, where they just think, well, I'm going to try over. Or they just say, I'm going to throw in the towel. It's too much work. And that's just absolutely heartbreaking, because that's obviously not the intent of marriage. And I think, you know, when kids grow up in an environment where the garden is full of weeds, it's really hard on them. And then we're just, you know, we're saying, hey, you know, this is just what it is. And then they duplicate what they've seen. And so, you know, instead of it just being a garden, it becomes a much bigger piece of land that has lost its capacity for beauty, because there's so much pain and weeds. And it's not that it's beyond recovery. There's so many marriages that I know of that have overcome so much, but it's just made so much harder by our choices to turn our hearts away from one another and from Christ, and from actually doing the hard work that's required for having a marriage. And so when I think about it, you know, I look in the mirror and I think, man, I'm looking a little older than I think that I should. My brain is not as old as my body looks. And I realize we're 23 years down the road on this thing called marriage. And I could never have dreamt that Amy would become who she has become. I knew she was amazing. I knew that I was marrying out of my league. I knew I was really fortunate. She's an incredible gal. But she's become somebody even more amazing. And there's no way for me to see that in the beginning. But what the way that I think about this is the potential for beauty and the potential for people to see something incredible, even if it requires really hard work on our part, and even if it requires dedication in ways that we didn't know it would require. It's so worth it. Because not only do we get to enjoy the beauty that this garden now provides, but so do others. And it can provide, you know, safety and beauty and all of those things. And I think as we walk down that road together, that we can walk alongside other couples and be able to say encouraging words and things like that that are required for that marriage to take place that way, as the same way that other people have done for us. And so, you know, I think that the word holds so much weight. And as a matter of fact, had a bus driver who he jokingly would shudder and make a mention, you know, don't use the M word. Every time this gal and I were having a conversation, every time we said marriage, you know, he would shudder. He said, don't say that word, you know, and it was obvious that he had had a negative experience with marriage. And I wish it weren't the case. I wish for everyone to have a really clear understanding and a dedication going into that relationship that it's amazing. It's so amazing. And what it provides, not only for us, but those around us, is so fun and incredible. And I just wanted to take, a few minutes to talk about marriage. And how I look at it and how I tend to think about it. Because I think we say in our worship service, we pray for weddings, for anniversaries. And we say, you know, God, thank you for this couple, for marriage. Because in it is represented the spiritual unity between Christ and his church. So we pray, therefore, send your blessing upon these, your servants, that they may so love, honor, and cherish each other in faithfulness and patience and wisdom and true godliness, that their home may be a haven of blessing and peace. through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I pray that for your marriage, if you're listening today. I pray that for your marriage, that it may be that thing, and that you would be willing to press in and pull out the weeds of bitterness and to lay down your life for Christ and for your spouse, that you may reflect Jesus more fully as you walk together. As always, I want to say thank you so much for listening today. If you enjoyed this podcast, I pray that you give it a high rating. I'd appreciate that. You can always find me on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. I've got a website. It's called bobfabe.com. That may be where you've picked up this podcast. I don't know. But if you're interested in having me speak, I have a speaking that I do. You can fill out the form there as a request. And I've written a book. It's called Not My Jesus. It's a commentary on who Jesus is and how he functions in our culture and how he asks us to function in light of that. And you can find that at Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com. Check it out. I hope that you have a wonderful day and that it's filled with many, many blessings. Thanks so much.